for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, December the 26th, 2009. Don Andrews is the speaker of the morning, teaching on our relationship with Him.
Kind of trying to prepare something for about a week, and it's not been happening. But sounds normal, doesn't it? But I've really noticed, and I kind of like the Lord was feeling the Lord wants me to share on this. I got some scriptures, but I got a lot of them. But I've noticed this real rise in the presence of God and Jesus. That's my first love in the sense of what I approach in the spirit realm as I approach Jesus. I approach the Father through Jesus. I just don't think we do that enough anymore. We don't give Him His place. And I've noticed there's such a rise in the closeness of the spirit to the natural. I was sharing that yesterday. It's like that. There's a movement that I haven't seen in a long time. And some people I see are very ignorant of it because they're so focused on themselves and their problems, the situations around them. I'm not saying I'm not. In my day, I can get very confused, but about things, and there's a lot of pressure sometimes if I let it be, and there's so much to do. But He keeps telling me, "Don't miss this move. This. Don't move me. Don't miss me. I'm coming. Don't get distracted by the things around you. Don't let the life that you're living keep you from receiving the fullness of what He's got." You know, when people come for deliverance in the morning, I see this real setting free so that they can start recognizing who Jesus is and start seeing that there's something besides this world. You know, that there's a spiritual realm out there, eternity, that we just kind of, for some reason, we forget. We think Jesus is a tool or a doorway to make us feel better and to set us free. And I fall into that trap occasionally myself when things are not going just right or something really starts pressing me. I keep thinking that He's not able, that He's not real enough, that other side of that we really live in or supposed to live in is not what it's supposed to be. And I'm going to share out of Romans a little bit. I've got a lot of notes, but I'm going to try to sort through them because I wrote a whole bunch of stuff down and real fast, and I'm not sure which part of it I'm going to use. But first of all, I'd like to say that when you're born, we were talking about it this morning, that your personality is shaped by your experiences before and from birth, who you are. And it's not your fault that you're shaped that way. I make no excuses for myself. I used to for a lot. I used to blame everybody. I remember I'd shared before, I told my dad, I said, "It's your fault I'm here. You know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been born. So don't start telling me how bad I am and what I'm doing wrong because it's your fault I'm here and you raised me." And he says, "I'm not going to wear that. That's your problem, not mine. Because you're a grown man now." So he kind of was telling me, you need to start shaping your life the way you want it to be. You know, even though your whole inner conflict is the person you think you should be and the person that you were developed into from whatever past put it together. But I didn't really do it right away. I kind of still fell back on the fact that I didn't want the responsibility for it. I started to do a lot of whining and a lot of rebelling and a lot of condemnation, a lot of I'm not good enough, a lot of this and that, and a lot of excusing myself for not wanting to change, not wanting to be some, what I would say, what I should be, what I've seen I should be. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. It says in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, unfortunately, from my young childhood, I lived a life of condemnation to myself, and I let other people do the same to me. I felt like I was always a really rejected child. I was really quiet. I was shy. And like I said, if I walked into a room and there was five bullies in there, they came after me because I was quiet. I learned to fight at an early age, and I got pretty mean in some ways. I didn't put up with much, but I still didn't come out of that. I was still stuck in that quiet, withdrawn stage because of the way I was brought up and the way my personality was. And it was easy for me to stay there. It was easier for me to fight occasionally than to come out and be who I was supposed to be all the time. If you understand what I mean, you get blocked in these places and you find places of refuge. You can find places of refuge in plain sight. I could find places of refuge in a crowded room. I could. I told, I told Richard, when I used to go to the gym, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I am. When I used to go to the gym, I planned my path through the gym so that I would not evoke any conflict. I would go to this machine and this machine. I would always look for an opportunity to go to these places so that I wouldn't have a confrontation, because I knew how I was. So by the time I had got, I was really good at being invisible in plain sight. Invisible in a crowded room. I'm still pretty good at it, probably still. But I used to really be really, really good at it. And I walked around in condemnation all the time because I never measured up to my dad. I never measured up to myself. I never measured up to, I felt, my school teachers. I never measured up in my life in general. And it caused me a lot of ins and outs in my life and in God. It caused me a lot of ups and downs that really weren't necessary. I guess they were because they happened, but I look back now and say, if I could have released myself and that then into what I was supposed to have been, and I'm not saying I'm so great now, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm free now of all that. I know I'm free. I mean, I know it's not important to you, but it's important to me. It's really important to me to be free, to have peace in my heart and mind, and not constantly judging myself with every word I say and everything I do and everything that happens in my life, and trying to decide if I did right or wrong, if I pleased God or didn't please God. I guess I viewed God as my dad. I usually is the bottom line on that, and it's funny, even after your parents die, you can still walk in that if you're not careful. Because those things are established in you. And the enemy loves those doors like that. He loves those handles. He loves those things, whatever you want to call them, puppet strings that he can walk you around with. He loves it. But I started seeing that, and it probably was maybe 89, 90, maybe 20-something years ago, about the time I got married, that I started seeing that I just couldn't live this way anymore. You know, I couldn't live in and out anymore. I couldn't go after Jesus and then go back to the world, go after Jesus, go back to the world. The ins and outs were killing me. And that, I'm physically and mentally killing me. And so I told the Lord it was either in or out. You know, I couldn't go back and forth anymore. It was too hard. And I started coming out. And I know it wasn't through any effort of my own, except for I was willing. I was willing. I guess I'm kind of sharing this. I'm going to come into some other stuff in a minute to say that Jesus has to be really real. You know, if you're here to just feel better, you're going to be in and out, in and out, in and out. The reality of who He is and who God is and heaven and hell and has to be the first thing in your life and has to be the thing that's becoming real to you. You know, we're not. I see that for myself. I used to think in a morality context of, you know, to be good and to exercise morality, to do the right thing, to do what the scriptures say. But I realized that that stuff wasn't in me because Jesus was not that real to me. He wasn't in me and changing me. The Holy Spirit wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing in me because I was so busy trying to do it myself. I still lived a life of condemnation. You can still do that. There's some men that seem really great in God, but they live a life of condemnation because they have a conflict in their life. They haven't really, like Brother Fox was preaching last night about faith. I know some people that have faith to heal, but don't know Jesus. They just don't know. They don't know heaven, and I want to know heaven. I mean, it may be callous to me to say I really don't care if anybody's healed by my hand ever if I know heaven. Because I know all that other stuff's going to take care of itself. I don't have to worry about it then because I know Jesus. I know heaven. I know the Father. I know the Holy Spirit. I know how they work. I'm sensitive to what they say and do. I'm not trying to produce something. And whether you like it or not, that turns into pride if you're not careful. Because once you've established who you say you are, you have to keep holding that up. For God, in John 3:17, says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So if we're walking in condemnation, we're walking in doubt, fear, and thinking God can't do it, and that we're never going to be any good, we're never going to get out of this, this thing is just too much for me, walk in that fear of condemnation, that fear of failure, it's not true. He came to save us, to lift us out of all that, to bring us out of all that. And I know that you've probably heard all this before, but you haven't. He who believes in Jesus or Him, in verse 18, John 3:18 says, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. But he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And in Romans 8:2 goes on to say, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So I don't have to be condemned anymore. I don't have to walk in all that anymore. I don't have to let the enemy catch my ear and tell me all this stuff. And when we're here together, it's easy, you know. We're all together, the Holy Spirit's flowing. But I'm talking about when you get back alone, you know. When these things people share with you and all this deliverance is, you know, it's great. But this is so you can go back home. And because I'm going to tell you this. I've told it before. I'll tell you real quick. I got a vision one time. God showed me myself in a room. And I know I've shared it to some of you probably would be tired of hearing it. But I never get tired of seeing it. You know, because it's such a truth to me. And this room was like a cell. It was 4 feet by 4 feet. And it was about 6 feet tall. And all it had in it was a bench. It had bars on the door, and this was really real. I mean, I saw this. I was wide awake, and I saw it. It was there. I was in the room, sitting there, and I saw all it in color. And there was bars on the door, and the door had a door that was shut, and there was a little door at the bottom where to stick a tray underneath. And I was sitting there on the bench looking at the door, just not really thinking a whole lot. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Now produce." And I thought, and that word produce expanded into this thought to me, how are you going to produce anything? Produce. I can't witness anybody. I'm in a little jail cell. I can't feed myself unless they put it under the door. I've got nothing to read. All I've got is me to talk to. There's no chance of in that impression that I was ever getting out of there. And the Holy Spirit says, now produce me. And He was saying, now produce me in your life. Without any environmental input. And that was a real eye-opener to me. He says, and then he went on later to say, this is a relationship with just you and me. Your whole life with me should be lived in this room. Should be lived in this room. Your whole experience with me should be lived in this room. Your producing should be out of me in you. Not anything that anybody can give you. There's a place you come to in life, it should be that way. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't get together and this. It always encourages me. It always builds me up. It always takes me deeper because it extends me and pushes me. I'm not a normal person that would get up and do these things. I'm not a normal person that would want to share or do what I'm doing now or even do deliverance. I never thought I'd ever be doing that stuff because it's not natural to me. But God stretches us, pushes us, takes us out of the normal and brings us into the supernatural. So when I sat in that room and I was looking around thinking, how am I going to do this? And then He expanded eternity to me and showed me that it was a heavenly place, that producing in Him had nothing to do with my abilities or who I was or what I had been and what burdens I carried or anything. It was the reality of Him in me in that room and me allowing Him to make Himself real to me in that room. Just me and Him. And He was saying, I want to make Myself that real to you in the sense of you, everyone, if they'll let me. Because in that reality, you'll never fail in me. You'll never leave me. I'll never leave you. You'll never be in a place that I can't talk to you and communicate to you because you'll always be in this room with just me and me producing in you. It'll have nothing to do with anybody else. So nobody can touch you or harm you there. Nobody can say things to injure you there. Nobody can distract you from Jesus there. Nobody can do anything to you there because it's just you and Him. I'm not talking about a hideaway, a getaway. I'm talking about a reality and eternity. A real view of who Jesus and the Lord is. And I'm not saying I have this great big walk in the heavens. I'm saying that He's expanding my view. He's taking me deeper all the time because I understand what He wants to do with me. I'm not trapped totally on this earth trying to walk these things out by natural means. He's wanting me to come into the supernatural and start walking these things out in the supernatural means. And not to glory in anything that He does or says to me because it's just Him. It's not me. I have no ability to communicate other than what He says to me. I have no ability to see anything but what He shows me. Can He trust you with what He shows you? And when I say that, well, what am I going to do with God shows me? What can I do with it? Well, you can make money with it. You can take credit for it. You can worship yourself in it. There's a lot of things that you could be distrusted with because it's His. It's not ours. And all through history, men have taken His things for themselves. And because it was important that they were lifted up instead of Him. When great things start happening in men of God, it's hard to stay in a humble position. It really is. It's really hard. That's why God has to be able to trust us with His stuff. Trust us with His power. Trust us with the things He gives us. Get distorted views because we get ourselves in the way. We start preaching distorted doctrines even though God has trusted us with great things because we got ourselves in the way. We still got ourselves mixed up in it. And the life outside of us. He wants us to be living that life just us and Him in a way. To never leave that place. Really a personal thing. There's one good thing about it. We can be dishonest with Him and He forgives us. He forgives us. And He puts us right back there in that place we were at. He doesn't demote us. He doesn't set us to the side. I wouldn't do the same thing to Him too many times though. In my experience, He will have a tendency to set you aside for a while till you really come through. I'm not saying that he's going to put you back in them, but you're going to spend some time, I'd say, cleaning yourself out and getting some things right where He says, now I'll trust you with it again. Let's see what's going on from here and see what's going to happen now. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And for some reason, I have written on my notes and it's in my mind, we think we can birth things out of the natural into the spirit. Some things we think are actions and what we do and our intentions, we can start birthing things, our worship, our praise, everything that we can birth spiritual things by natural means when it's really us doing it. We can't do that. God wants us to start producing things out of the spiritual realm, out of the spirit in us. Romans 1:3 says, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. So we've been set free. sin and our sinful nature, our sinful life is condemned now. It's been put to death. I know I was hearing this man say the other day, he said, well, he said, you're already this way in the heavenlies. He said, God's just making you like that. And I thought, well, okay. But just don't make that an excuse to be like you are. Yeah. Well, God's changing me, so I'll just go along and do whatever I do, and He forgives me. You know, I guess I'm coming to this part where I'm saying we're free, and what I'm talking about before about forgiveness, but at the same time, you know, we honor God and we walk carefully before Him. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, God loves me and He's not going to send me to hell and I'm going to be all right. He's got to work some things out, and I'm just going to go along being really rotten like I am until they work out of me on their own. And I say that would be very immature. Very, very immature, if not rebellion. He condemns sin in us and He's made us like we're in the heavenly. We've got this person that we're supposed to be, who God really sees us through the Son, but it's a hard work for us to bring us out, because it's a soul-tearing, mind-bending job on us and some of those around us for us to come out. I know it was a soul-tearing, mind-bending job for me, for myself. It was tough. But I don't make no excuses, and I really never did, after I finally realized that I couldn't live without Him. No matter how bad I was and how little faith I had, He was my only hope. I look back on my life where I was at when He came and found me. I found that once you've been awakened to God and Jesus, there's no place to go. Where are you going to go? Life's not satisfying anymore. You can't hide in it. Money's not that important. I mean, our comfort kind of gets us sometimes. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. Well, just enough money, just enough this, just enough that to not be uncomfortable in the natural, so we can really think about Jesus and really do the ministry we're supposed to, because all our needs are taken care of. So I had a cousin that went into business in the 70s. He said, my goal is, he said, I'm going to get all this money together and retire, and I'm going to go into ministry, and I won't have to worry about support. I'll just go out there and I'll have plenty of money. And he's still not saved. He's still out in the world. That never panned out. So those comfort places will get us. Verse 4 in Romans 1 through 4 so far, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. So sin's been condemned in us so that we can fulfill the righteous requirements. I see somewhat in these last few years that a lot of us want to go back to living according to the law a little bit and structure our lives and living by the Scriptures. And I just tell you, it's impossible. It's impossible to live in the natural by the Scriptures, because it says that I can do it. And I tell you that it's impossible, because I've tried it. It doesn't work. But those Scriptures become alive in us and become real to us, and we live them out through Jesus in us, and we find ourselves doing them. We're just obedient to Him and obedient to what He says. There's some things we can do that He says don't do. There's some things that are required of us in that we just can't do. We can't forgive ourselves of our own sin. We can't take ourselves into more spiritual places. We can't rule heavenly places. We can't do any of that just by going by what it says. We have to be filled with the Spirit, and we come into levels in the Spirit, whether we like it or not. My body now, probably, if you was to think about it, I can stand more of the Holy Spirit on me now than I could 10 years ago. I mean, I've had it where it took my breath away and I couldn't breathe, and then I'd come up and I'd feel there would be an intensity. But as I entered in deeper into the Spirit realm and more of, I know I'm changed, then there's more of it that I can retain. There's more revelation. There's more of His presence. There's more of His reality that I'm able to receive. Because of some things a few years ago in Scriptures that were said to me, I can see things now and all of a sudden they make sense without anybody explaining them to me. So He takes me deeper and deeper into that, because I've had some things explained to me on some of this and I'm still confused a while back. And also when God starts bringing me deeper into the Spirit and revelation starts coming, I'm able to understand them now. So as you progress in the spirit, your whole total consciousness and your the very molecular makeup of your body starts changing in a way. It starts being able to receive deeper places in the Lord. I mean, that's my personal opinion on that. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I've seen it happen to me in a way, so I know then for me it's true. And I'm not saying there's a whole lot of, I wouldn't say it all the time and I wouldn't run around saying those things, but I'm just saying that be open to the fact that all of the changes just aren't in your mind and just aren't making you able to cope with life better and love your parents better and feel freer. It's a total eternal experience, and we, as we press on and move into eternity, all parts of us change. How else are we gonna receive everything that He's got if He doesn't change us even in that? Becoming spiritual beings. And I think there's a scripture in here that I was saying that talks about us even changing naturally as we start entering into the things of Jesus of Christ. It says in John 3:21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God." Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in acceptance, accordance with the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That's what I've been saying up to now. God, that's Romans 1:5. It says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit," verse 6, "is life and peace." Here's one for you that part of your problems might be coming out of. Verse 7 says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God." So if you're not, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So if you're having trouble with, and I have trouble when I'm hostile to God, I don't enter in too well. And I still occasionally get a little hostile to God. It's not something that leaves right away. But I'm quick to repent. I know that. It's funny. You'll get yourself caught in a hostile position. You don't think it's hostility. And then you're angry and you're upset. And why is this going on? And God, because down in the end, I blame God for everything. I mean, I can't help it. That's my bottom line. I mean, if that's the originator of everything in my life, what am I going to do? And I don't realize I'm blaming Him in my hostility till I sit down and I start thinking about it, and finally it hits me what I really did, and then I have to really repent because it kind of scares me how hostile I was. And I remember that the next time I start getting a little wild about it. I guess it's not as hostile as I used to be, but hostility to God is not measured in size. It's not measured in size. If I go ram my car into a telephone pole or I throw a rock against the ground, that's a hostility. It's out of the same anger and frustration. It just looks better when I just throw the rock on the ground at me. But in heaven, it doesn't look like that. Hostility is hostility. Showed me that one too. And those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And don't be fooled thinking just because you're doing good things. I'm not fooled just because I used to do good things. And I wasn't supposed to be doing them even, that they were done out of my nature, not out of God's will, God's desire for me. You know, as somebody said before, and I'll say it again, just because things work out don't mean you're in God's will. Well, everything just fell into place. It must have been ordained by God. And then all of a sudden you walk into it and bam, you're in trouble. We need to know His voice. We need to know Jesus. We need to know Him. We need to know Him. We need to know Him. Not just of Him. Not just because we hear the echoes of heaven. We need to know Him. We're so busy sorting out. If we think we get it up here, we've got it made. We get the right scriptures in line. We figured it out. We got everything going. But this is a heart thing, you know. This is a heart and spirit thing. And I used to really get really upset because I couldn't put all those scriptures together the way some could do. And I couldn't do all that. Probably could, but it takes too much time, and I didn't have the patience probably. But God started bringing things from the inside out. He'd show me something, then I'd read it. He'd show me something, then I'd find it. And that way it was really real to me. He took that need to prove it to myself away. He took that need to prove it to everybody else that I was as smart as somebody else, because His truth is a spirit truth. It's a spirit that He speaks to us. I've heard, I spoke the word and it better happen. And I usually tell them, no, he is the word. And then it'll happen. And I'm not saying that speaking scriptures don't change things. I'm saying that dimming by yourself out of your sinful nature isn't going to do a whole lot of good. But I've seen people speak scriptures out of their sinful nature, out of their flesh, out of who they are, and exactly saying, God, you better do this because your word says it. I heard one really, really well-known evangelist said, well, if God's in trouble, he said he wrote it, so he's got to do it. And I thought, well, I would never say that. I almost got scared for him when he said it. Because that's like saying, well, if I quote this scripture, if I say these magic words, God is bound because he's God and he said them that he's got to do it, even though I'm not in line with him. I've got my own selfish reason for doing it, and my purposes aren't his purposes, but he's got to do it because he wrote it. So he's locked in. And God always has a little escape clause if we're doing according to his will. According to his will. What he asks of us, and according to the right nature. But if Christ is in you, verse 10, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And this is probably what the scripture I was thinking of while I was talking about our life to our mortal body. It may mean something else to you, but it kind of means this to me. Verse 11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So to me that means actually my body is coming alive just like my spirit is in the spirit realm. The death that was its death, my soul, my heart, all those things that are affected by my natural means are coming in line with my spirit. They're coming to life just like my spirit is. They're starting to line up with what God says and what God does and with the Word of God and with God's purposes. That they're no longer an enemy to me as much as they were before. They're becoming part of what He's doing. They're under control. I don't mean they'll always stay under control, but they're under His control. And the more I give them to Him, and the more I acknowledge that giving to Him, the more under control those things in me become. I can say no to them now, and they listen to me. Before, I couldn't say no to them. They would rule me, have me running all over. So I think that life that's in Him and that life in the Spirit that's coming into Him is giving life to our mortal body. Like I said, and we're coming into spiritual realms in this natural body. Our natural body is being affected by that spirit life that's in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting healed, changed that way, and things restored in us. And therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Sometimes it's hard to explain these things that you see in the Spirit with what God's wanting to do, and because there's such an overpowering presence of God today so far, and you may not, but I just tell you that from what I'm seeing, how God's pouring out right now, there's going to be a lot of weeping. I did a message a week or two ago on between the porch and the altar. God's got a people that, and I don't mean we all get together and He's got a people that are going to live there. They're going to weep between the porch and the altar for His people. They're going to live there. He's calling them to a great prayer that's going to change the church. And it's because He showed me the church is the people, is the other group in Isaiah, I think it is, has got their backs turned to the altar and facing to the east, worshiping the sun. That false God. And He's got His other people in Joel that are turned and have come and they're weeping between the porch and the altar, crying out for the truth and for God's people to come back to Him. And it's going to take people that know Jesus, that know spiritual realms, that have given themselves up to what God's doing, to giving themselves to what to spiritual realm so that they can start praying God's prayers. They can start crying God's cry. He showed them that we need to join that prayer that Jesus has before the Father continually for His people. And there is a prayer. It's not just any prayer. There is His prayer. And some people call it intercession. I call it intercession. That rests on His own all the time. And I guess I'm sharing this to you to say that if you really want to walk on these places that He's got for you and got for me, we need to start acknowledging the fact that this is a spiritual walk and get our mind off our problems and the things that are around us. I know it's hard. I have a little trouble sometimes, but there's such a great press right now, such a great pressure. Like I said yesterday, coming from the spiritual realm on the natural realm, I feel like heaven is pressed so tightly on us right now that you could almost poke a hand through it. It's so close. I know that it's not that way, but it feels that way. And a lot of things are going to be happening and changing. I don't know if it's because of the end times. I just know that the Holy Spirit is making a move. He's making a move and taking His people deeper. There's an overall depth that He's taking His people to. Everybody's at a certain level in the Spirit, in the depth. And whenever He moves and takes everybody, He don't leave anybody behind. It's just that those that are way back here, they move up to here, and those that are up here move way up to here. Everything moves when the Spirit moves. You'll hear, and I know this from experience, if you're sharing something that's a really deep revelation about what God's doing, you'll hear it in the lowest church for as much understanding as they have for that revelation or that move of what God's doing. So when we enter into all that, it's bringing His whole body up, where our prayers and our surrender to what He's doing is moving the whole body at the same time. It's not just moving us because we're involved in it. No, it's going on everywhere. He's moving the whole body. And all those people that are praying everywhere are moving the whole body from all the way down to the weirdest denomination you ever saw down there that still has some light. It's all moving. And I guess I'm saying this too to let you know you're going to have as much light as you want. As much as yourself you'll give up. As much, because that's mainly what it is giving yourself up so you can be filled with Him. As much of yourself as you give up, as much as of your own personal problems you allow Him to rectify and set right in you, the more of that heavenliness is going to be yours and poured into you. You're going to be set free and cleansed and just delivered. I don't know, I think I've got anything else to share, but let me see real quick. I don't want to be repetitious. What do they call that? Redundant? I was trying to figure out what that meant for a long time. I thought it meant dumb. But if it's just repetitive, that's all right. Okay, yeah, I got a couple more here. And then I'll be done. Okay, around here we kind of present God as our Father. And a lot of people that come are real fatherless type. And God, you really need to have a father's blessing and a blessing from a father. And it's a setting free from those. I had to have one. Because setting free from the bondage of a father that wasn't complete. In a childhood and a birth, it wasn't complete. It needs to be completed. But anyway. And this adds on to the other one, verse 17. We're moving on down. Actually, I still think it's in Romans. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Now, I'm going here to tell you that there's going to be suffering a little bit. You know, there's going to be pressures applied, and things are going to happen, and the one side we are His, and we're moving to heavenly places, but for some reason we don't respond well to happiness. The more we give, the more money we've got, the more cars we've got, the more stuff we got, the more pleasure we got, the harder it is for us to enter into heavenly places. So we get to partake in His suffering. And my wife says it's a sweet pain. And I said, yeah, it is. Because there's not been one suffering that God hasn't put me through that's taken me deeper. Verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And if you stay in it long enough and you let Him do the work long enough, and you may suffer a little bit, but you'll start seeing those things that He's talking about, that the Scriptures are talking about. You start seeing what He wants to reveal in you. Don't give up. Don't get fearful. Don't let it overwhelm you. Because sometimes He's going to put you in a spot that seems almost like it's never going to end. Never going to end. But about the time you think, I can't take one second more and this is never going to end, it's over. It's over. And I'll tell you, the glory that's received from that, the presence of God that comes after that, all those things that you really you were seeking. Sometimes you didn't know the extent of it because you were after one thing. I just want to be closer to Him. That was what you wanted, but what He really had to give you was this. And this is so much more than I just want more of Him. But you don't understand how the power and the glory and all that exists in eternity. Because when we get that more of Him, we're receiving the thing that created the universe. We don't understand that. We just think it's, oh, it's good. Because we're thinking with our minds a little bit and our bodies. But He's really changing us again. He's really making us different again. He's making us into something else. So if you're going through things, don't be condemned in it. Don't think it's going to end. But understand that's part of the work that He's doing you to bring you into the depth of Him. And sometimes a lot of our sufferings are brought on by ourselves. He just brings glory out of it. Matter of fact, I think when I think back, most of the things my suffering I put myself in, and there are things that come from the outside, don't get me wrong. There's sicknesses and injuries and things that happen. And whether the enemy had a hold, whether we made an open door, whether we had sin in our life at the time, God always means everything to come to His glory. God means everything. Even our mistakes and our errors and our blunders and our things, He intends for His glory and for His glory to be presented in us. Then it says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. One more thing I think, and that was it. Okay, verse 30 says, and those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? That's not a new car. It's not a new house. Could be. But I think all things to me is all of Him. All of Him. All of Him. All of Him. I've had all that other stuff. I've had all of it. I've had all of it. There's not much of it that I haven't had. And I was never satisfied. Never satisfied. But I'm being satisfied now. Being satisfied now. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank You this morning for being with me. I just want Your flow to continue the rest of the day and this whole week. I really want it to continue in everyone that leaves here, Lord, because that's the important thing. I want this flow of Your Holy Spirit to keep cleansing us, setting us free, clearing our minds out, clearing our hearts out, clearing out all the old stuff, getting rid of all the old garbage, getting rid of all the old clutter that's in us, Lord. Just replacing it with You. Be that vessel that's free to flow through, Lord, and to flow in and out of any time You want, Lord. Lord, just want to call down heaven, Lord, even more than it is. Just come, Lord. Overflow us. Overwhelm us. Just burn us inside and out, Lord. Change us. Make us like You want us to be. Don't spare anything, Lord. But I cry in Your heart for Your presence in You, Lord, and in the fullness of what You are, not just part of it. Don't ever let me say, no, that's enough. Just pour out on us, Lord. Pour out on us. I know You don't want to hold back, but we do. Don't let us hold back any longer, Lord. No longer. It's time, Lord. It's time, Lord. It's time. Jesus. 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 I know we've heard it all and we're kind of calloused. Just break up those stony hearts, Lord. Break up our stony hearts. Replow our hearts, Lord. Plow them again. Plow them again. Make us fertile. Make us ready to receive what You got, Lord.
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus.
Lord, just want to pray for the meal now, Lord, and just bless this food to our bodies, Lord, and we thank you for providing for us. Thank you for letting us be here. Just thank and praise you, Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.